Testing, hello, good morning, welcome to Lighthouse. All right, I'm not going to sing my sermon today because that would send everyone outside, but before we jump into the message, we might just read our passage, if I can have that up on the screen. Awesome. So we are in 1 Peter chapter 4 verses 12 through to chapter 5 verses 6. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. If you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you'll be blessed, for the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. If you suffer, however, it must not be for murder, stealing, making trouble, or prying into other people's affairs. But it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by his name. For the time has come for judgment, and it must begin with God's household. And if judgment begins with us, what terrible fate awaits those who have never obeyed good news? And also, if the righteous are barely saved, what will happen to the godless sinners? So, if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right, and trust your lives to the God who created you, for he will never fail you. And now, a word to you who are elders in the churches. I too am an elder and a witness to the sufferings of Christ, and I too will share in his glory when he is revealed to the whole world. As a fellow elder, I appeal to you. Care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you will get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. Don't lord it over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example. And when the great shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor. In the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders, and all of you dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. We are in our 1 Peter series. As you hopefully are aware, if you've been traveling with us at all, we've called the series Set Apart as God's People. And we've been looking at a number of different things throughout this series. We've looked at the fact, very beginning of the series, that we found this living hope in Jesus dying on the cross and changing our lives, because that hope that he gave us was transforming. It didn't just leave us the same when we came to understand what it was. When we received it, we were transformed into a new way of living. And we spent quite a bit of time unpacking what that living looked like in different areas of our lives, from government, from home, from church, and other areas. And then last week, Pastor Colin looked at, not only do we have a new way of living, but we also have a new attitude that we live with, and this idea that our mind should be like Christ, our attitude should be like Christ. And what's interesting, I didn't actually put it up here, but at the very last verse that Colin looked at last week, I don't know if you picked it up, but Peter actually finishes off, and he says, amen, at the end of that passage that Colin looked at. And a lot of scholars believe that maybe Peter could have been finished his epistle, his first epistle there. As we'd understand, at the end of a prayer, we say amen, and that's it. We can't do any more praying. But that's not the case here with Peter, is it? Because what does he say in this first verse? He says, dear friends. So he's been spending all this time writing to the church, and now he comes and it's almost like he gathers them around. He's like, my dear friends, my brothers and sisters. And the word here, dear friends, is that idea of agape love. And if you know what that means, it's brotherly love. So you are my close friends, I want you to understand this. And then he goes on and he says, don't be surprised at the fiery trials or the ordeal that has come on you. He's been talking, as Colin mentioned last week, all the way through about these sufferings that we are going to face. And then when he thinks he's almost finished, he goes, well, actually, maybe there's something more I need to add. And let's be clear here. When Peter says, don't be surprised at the fiery trials, he's not saying that God is the one that is giving you these trials. He has put these trials on your shoulders to carry. Rather, we need to understand here that the fiery trials that Peter is talking about are things that are from the devil. The devil has influence in the world. Sin, since the beginning in the Garden of Eden, sin has polluted and corrupted the way God created the world. And we know how sin came into the world was by mankind's free will. And so we need to understand that, because very often we can think that these sufferings that we're facing in our life, or even the sufferings that Peter talks about, are things that God has done to us. And that's not the case. And Colin even mentioned it this morning with this tragedy that we've seen up over in Victoria. And one of the questions is why, God? Why have you allowed this? Or why did you let this happen? And that's what we're going to be looking at today, is why does God allow suffering? But rather, and that picture, you can't really see it, but it's a cross and hands holding onto it, should be on your focus, is how do we have strength? God allows trials and sufferings to take place, yet he also gives us strength in these struggles, as we're going to see. Finding strength in a struggle. I want to tell you a story from back in February 2020. It was a lovely afternoon. A family was celebrating a birthday of one of their daughters, and everything was going smoothly. There was no rain. They were enjoying their time together. And then a group of the kids that were there, family, friends, wanted to go for a walk down the store to get some ice cream. And so the parents said, sure, it's not far down the road, they should go. And so seven children head off down the road, walking probably a road that they've walked many times, yet unbeknown to them, minutes away was a man who was hooning around in his car, severely intoxicated, three times over the legal limit, and as well as being over the legal limit, also under the influence of drugs. Flying around suburbia at 100 plus kilometres an hour, and these seven children, unknown to them, next minute have been ploughed into by this car. Three of them dying on the scene, four dying on the scene, and three being injured. This is a true story that happened 5 years ago. Some of you might have seen a Seven News spotlight that was 5 years on from this original incident a couple weeks ago. This family lost four beautiful children. This father had to tell his other children who were in hospital, who had tried to help their brothers and sisters survive, that they had died. How do you handle a struggle like this? How did this family respond to this struggle? By the grace of God. 3 days later, this family gathered at the memorial site of where the accident took place, and in front of the news and reporters, they were able to forgive the driver of this incident. The mum made a public declaration that she doesn't hate this man, that she forgives this man. She doesn't know why these things had happened, but she didn't want to hold on to hate or any of that in her heart. And as you could imagine, this was a broadcast nationwide across Australia, and an act like that blew the nation away. How can someone do something like that? Just forgive a man who's taken three children from this lady. Yet 5 years on, as the recent spotlight showed, that this family now, in particular this father, has been doing some reconciliation with the man who was driving the car, who's still imprisoned, been sentenced for 20 years in prison. Yet now he has regular phone contact with this man, calls him at least once a week. He's been visiting him in hospital as some reconciliation of what's happened. He's obviously forgiven him, and we see his forgiveness goes even on a deeper level in the interview. If you watch the 7 News Spotlight, the reporter who was driving him into the hospital just asked him one question that said, if he had the power to do whatever he wanted, the father, what would he do? And the father said to the reporter, he said, I would actually release this man. There's nothing that I can do to bring my children back. He didn't see a reason for this man to remain locked up. He took communion with him. He prayed with him during this interview. Now we hope and pray ourselves that we never have to face a struggle like this, don't we? I mean, I know from my own personal experience of losing my mum, it's not a struggle that anybody wants to go through. But when we hear stories like this, and if you watch the spotlight, there were comments that came out about it, and I watched it on YouTube, and there were comments that came underneath. And when you hear a story like that, it makes you think about your own life and how am I responding to struggles that I'm faced with in my life. And one simple comment was a guy who'd watched this story said, I can't believe it. I was so angry today at someone who cut me off on the road raging. And he said, and then I watched this and I just couldn't believe myself. And maybe that's how you're thinking now. Or maybe when you've watched it, how you're thinking is, how do we respond to struggles in our life? And now, the reality is, many of us aren't going to face a severe struggle like that. But the truth that Peter recognizes is that suffering for our own faith can be just as much a struggle. Maybe as a Christian, you have felt the time where you've been isolated or you've been ignored because of what you believe in. You've been ostracized, or maybe you've been overlooked in a promotion at work or for a relationship because you weren't willing to compromise or you weren't willing to do what a non-believer was willing to do. Maybe it's the opposite. You've been taken advantage of because people know you're a Christian, you're generous. That's what we're called to do. And so they take advantage of that. Or maybe you've even been slandered because of your faith. People have made rude comments towards you. Or even, I know in Victoria now, you can be imprisoned because you prayed for someone who is struggling with gender identity, if it's found out. And we don't see it here, but we know that there are many people around the world who are martyred for their faith, for simply going to church or struggle, or owning a Bible. So how do we find strength in our struggles? It's clear that Peter knew that the followers of Jesus would need strengthening to face the struggles that were coming for them. And that's why he addresses it in our passage that we're going to be unpacking today. And I just wanted to mention before we jump into the verses is this actually connects back to the very beginning, back in the beginning of chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Peter literally says almost the same words. You are going to face trials. You are going to be refined in the fire. And so this isn't something new, but almost like a bookend, Peter is reminding us again that even though there will be struggles, we can have strength. And he gives us these reasons why we can have or find strength. Beginning with the first one in verses 13, we can find strength in our struggles by knowing that we are partnering with Jesus. In verse 13, it says, "Instead, be very glad for these trials, for they make you partners with Christ." I talked about it a few weeks ago in regards to marriage. Marriage is a partnership. It's not husband does one thing, the wife does another thing, but it's the idea that we are partnering together, and it's very much the same in regard to our faith and finding strength in the struggles. Okay, often the struggle can make you feel like you're all alone. There's no one who understands or no one who knows what I'm going through. But the reality is that Jesus went through struggles. Jesus went through suffering and trials so that we would have an example to follow. And so it is a privilege, Peter says, that we get to partner with Jesus if we are facing a struggle in our life, knowing that it's not something God gave us, but he has allowed us to go through. We can be encouraged that it's not just me. We see Jesus went through struggles. We see Jesus' disciples went through struggles. We know today that Christians go through struggles. But we can be encouraged because we are in partnership with Jesus. It's not something we're doing alone. The second thing we see is we can find strength in God's Spirit dwelling in you. In verses 14 it says, "If you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed, for the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you." And this is one of the most incredible blessings for us as people of the new covenant. Throughout the Old Testament, people didn't have this privilege. They had to go to a temple to be able to worship God or to feel and be near to God's presence. Yet we have the privilege wherever we travel, every step we take, the presence of God is with us through his Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And that gives us courage and strength that when something difficult comes our way, not only are we not alone, but we've also got the power of the Holy Spirit within us, guiding us and encouraging us. We also see that we can find strength in their struggles because we are serving God and not the world. Because the reality is that there is suffering in the world. Colin mentioned these policemen, I don't know whether they're Christian or not. I don't know whether their families are Christian, but they face suffering. Suffering is not something just set aside for believers. It is something that happens in general because in general, sin is in the world. There is a brokenness from our relationship with God. And so we can't be surprised at the suffering that we face. But the courage that we take is that we know in the suffering that we're facing as Christians is there's a purpose to that suffering. As Peter alluded to earlier in chapter 1, that suffering is a way that we are refined into a better image of Christ. And many of you probably know the term Christian actually means little Christ. The idea is that we are being the image of Christ to those around us. And so we can be strengthened because we don't have no idea why the suffering is taking place in our life, but rather we understand that as we serve God and suffering comes our way, we continue to serve him and become like him and be strengthened through that. And then Peter says in verses 17 to 18, he says that we can find strength because we know where our future and we know where our oppressor's future is. And this is, it's kind of a weird one to think about. And there's two ways that we can think about this. As I mentioned already, that idea of suffering as a refining process for believers is not always easy to go through. Yet because of the hope that we received in Christ Jesus, that transform the way that we live our lives, we know that there is a future hope that we look forward to. And that is the thing that allows us to understand and grasp the reality of that this suffering, even the person that is making us suffer, we have an assurance of where we're going despite the suffering that's taking place. And there's the two things that can encourage us, is that we know that we're going to eternity, and we know that God is the one who will justify us. He is the one that will bring true judgment. And sadly, that does mean for those that might be persecuting us, if they don't turn to Jesus, that they will face God's wrath. And that shouldn't make us glad, but it should encourage us to know that I'm going to eternity. This suffering is for a time, it's temporary, yet it should turn our hearts towards those who are oppressing us, knowing that they are going to be lost by the way that we respond to their persecution. It could draw them towards knowing Christ and who he is. And that encourages us. That can give us strength because we know that this suffering is not purposeless. It is something that can be used for his glory. And then finally, Peter says in the section of chapter 4, he says, we can find strength in knowing that this was the model that Jesus set for us. It was Jesus' model. And Peter says, so if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right and trust your lives to the God who created you, for he will never fail you. We know the story of Jesus, and when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was asking the Father, if there is another way, let it be. But there wasn't another way. And so Jesus entrusted God's plan to the very end. And he went through that suffering for our glory. And the same is true for us. We can see the life that Jesus lived and the glory that came afterwards. And so we can take and be strengthened that the suffering might be now, but there is glory coming in the end. And so Peter encourages believers to find strength, knowing that present struggles in life are not the absence of God, but are this preparation for our future glory. Yet he doesn't finish there, because then he goes on in chapter 5, and he gives a charge to leaders and believers in the midst of struggle, continuing this theme. And what's interesting is we know Peter's background. We know the situation that he was in. Jesus had given him the role of leading the church, the rock that the church was going to be on. Yet then Peter denies Jesus 3 times when struggling and suffering came Jesus' way. So Peter's very experienced in this situation. He knows that when struggles and suffering come, it can be very easily for us to get swept away from our faith and the strength that we had. We can be weak. And so Peter charges the leaders and us believers of the church to make sure that we don't let that happen. He says leaders need to be mature in faith and lead humbly during struggles in verses 2-3. And what we see here is that Peter is encouraging the leaders, him being one, is that we cannot let these struggles impact the way that we care for the flock. And now, it does mention in here elders, but I do believe that Peter was referring to not just the pastors of the church, but also to those who are mature in the faith as well. That is our responsibility. It's just not Colin and myself's flock to look after. God has entrusted us with the responsibility to lead and guide it, but also to encourage others to care for it as well. And one of the ways we can do that, if you're a leader in a ministry here, is to lead by example. on how do you suffer well? How do we find strength in our suffering? And then Peter goes on, though, that it's not just about the leaders, it's also about believers following humbly during struggles. In verses 5 and 6. And this is one of the incredible blessings that we have in the church here. We're almost a split. We've got about 30 people who are in the young adults age, and then we've got about 40 who are 60 plus years old. And that is a great privilege for us as a church, because we've got so many people here who are spiritually mature, who have been walking faithfully for years, that this next generation can look up to, can look towards. If we are willing, is the challenge. If we, on both sides, if the younger generation are willing to humble ourselves and actually ask questions and to talk to our older generation and to hear how they survived and persevered through their struggles, we can learn. And then also the older congregation get an opportunity to share the work that God has done in their life, to be an encouragement to us. And so as we think of these things, again, Colin mentioned last week that throughout Peter, there is this theme of suffering that is very prominent, that Peter touches on again and again. But what is beautiful about this epistle is, alongside that theme of suffering, is a theme of beautiful future glory for those who suffer, followers of Jesus who go through difficult times, is for a temporary time. Yet we will have a future glory that goes for eternity. And it was even in this passage as today when Peter talks about it multiple times in verses 13b and verse 5, 1b, chapter 5, verse 1 and 4 and 6. Peter mentions it again and again as an encouragement that joy will be coming when Jesus' glory is revealed for us who believe. And so the question is how do we handle our struggles? I mentioned a couple weeks ago the same thing, that these times of crisis for Christians can be the greatest opportunity of witness. And so just up here, I've got a few things that we can do and know how to handle our struggles in Christ. And there's some personal ones that we can look at. This idea of shifting our perspective on struggles. Very often, we ask the question, why is this happening to me? That's the first question we ask. It's instinctive that we ask, why, God? Why did you allow this? Because we have this understanding that He is a loving God. He would never allow something like that to happen. Yet maybe if by shifting our perspective in our struggles, we can ask a question about, how is God refining me? Or how is He preparing me through this process for His future glory or for what is to come next? Or maybe it's a practice of daily dependence. It can be hard when you're in the midst of a struggle to keep our eyes on God. And there are people in our church here who are struggling with many different things. And so maybe starting every day by simple prayer, Lord, I can't carry this in my own strength. Help me partner with you today. And it could be great if you pray it once, but if you build it into a daily rhythm, something that we are constantly doing, making sure that our struggles are turning us to God in prayer. Instead of just, it's very easy to sit and just complain. Say, why, God? Why? And have a little pity party. Why did you allow this to happen to me, God? And not allowing Him to work through that situation for your good. And then coming out of the 7 News Spotlight story, maybe it is as simple as just radical forgiveness to someone who's done something, or an oppressor who is oppressing you, whatever the situation might be. Because as we saw from the 7 News Spotlight, the incredible impact that could make. The thing, even the interview itself, I was watching it and it was amazing. Bible verses were being broadcast across Channel 7 News. There was no hiding it. They were very prominent about this is God at work. God gave us the strength to be able to forgive and reconcile with this man. And they couldn't, the news reporter couldn't shy away from it because that was the truth. And the same could be true for us in our situations. But what about as a church? Because we can do things individually, but we're also called as a corporate body to do things together. And one of the greatest things we can do is modeling strength to others. And that it was interesting because at a pastor's gathering this week, one of the pastors got up and was just mentioning that we always seem to think we need to share the positive. We're waiting for the best story to share, and it has to be positive and uplifting because that's the only way we can be encouraged. But the truth is, he was saying, is that we can find great encouragement in seeing how someone went through a struggle or someone failed and how God provided and strengthened and encouraged them. And I know that's true in my life. Through the difficulties that I went through in Mum's passing, it has made me an incredibly stronger person in my faith and incredibly more powerful to be used for God in ministering to other people who are struggling and suffering. And so if we are willing to be a bit vulnerable and share the struggles that we have, but also share how we see God at work, it's not about just saying, oh, my life is just terrible. But it's about saying, I'm going through a terrible situation. I'm keeping my eyes fixed on God, and this is what he's doing. This is how he's transforming me. This is how he's growing me in this situation. As leaders and those mature in the faith, we need to shepherd humbly. We need to model it, not just teach it and tell people do this, but we actually need to do it ourselves. And then as believers, we need to be able to follow humbly as well. As I said before, we need to be willing to ask others in the congregation, how have you seen God carry you through a situation like this? As a young person, there's many things that I've faced that many of the congregation here have already gone through. They've already leant on God and they know, this is what I did. I spent this time in prayer, or this passage was so powerful for this time and a great encouragement. I mean, Colin was a great example to me when I was wrestling with stuff with my mum. He gave me this beautiful book that allowed me to help process my grief and to recognize the areas that I need to work on. And if he'd never done that, maybe I would still be wrestling and going to a counselor still to try and deal with the way I handle my grief. But it takes humility to be able to do that. And it's not something we're very good at, sadly, as a younger generation and even as an older generation. But the reality is, if we can do some of these things that Paul has talked about, and we are strengthened in the struggle, we know, Peter said, it brings future glory. When struggles press in, we don't stand on our own strength. We're not alone. We stand with Jesus Christ. We rely on his Holy Spirit indwelling in us. And we stand with our brothers and sisters in Christ, our dear friends, as Peter says. And we look forward to that one day when the struggle will give way, they'll fall away, and we will be in future glory together. We don't know when that day is coming, which is the difficult part. But until then, we can be a church that shows our strength is truly found in Christ alone. Let me invite the worship team up and pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for Peter, Lord, and how much he is like us. He is just a human being. He failed Christ. Even after he had bold proclamations made over him by Jesus Christ. And that he comes later and he builds the church, Lord. He didn't let that struggle and that suffering be the end of him, but he found strength in it through you so that he could then go on and write about it to the other churches to encourage them to know that there will be struggles. None of us will escape it. But when we find strength in you, God, in the things that you have given us, the Holy Spirit, the church here, we can be a light to those around us. We can make a national impact like this family did through the 7 News Spotlight, Lord. They can just make people question how and why and what is so different about these people that we just can't comprehend. And we do all this, Lord, because our eyes are fixed on a future glory with no more pain, no more suffering. And we look forward to that day together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.